Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 John, chapter 5. Title of my message here this morning is Assurance of Salvation. Assurance of Salvation. Now, what is that about? Assurance of salvation is about you being literally saved. In other words, you're saved from the perspective of God. It's not just that you think you're saved and may not be. It's that you are biblically saved in the eyes of God. And in your mind and in your heart, you are 100% convinced of that. Okay, there are sometimes Christians, I don't know if there's anybody like in here that is like that or somebody who was like that before, where you may have in your past really, really, really struggled with whether you're saved or not. Now, I admit, I at one time really, 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 really wondered if I was saved. Those are some scary times, especially when you know the Word of God. Is there anybody that would say, Brother Brian, just by raising your hand, saying there's been a time in my life in which I doubted my salvation? You don't have to be ashamed of it. Anybody like that? There was a time? Okay, nothing wrong with that. I've done it myself. I'll put up both hands, you know. That was a tough time. I mean, especially with me, because at the time, I actually doubted my salvation a lot when I was in a Bible college. And I was in a very strong, good Bible college. So I heard the preaching of God's Word pretty much all the time. I mean, I was taking Bible classes. We had Bible chapel. I was very involved in the church. During those 4.5 years, the amount of time that I heard Bible preaching is probably, you may have been in church now, maybe in your life for 60 years. And I'm 37 years old. I may have more Bible exposure to preaching and teaching than you have had in your entire life if you didn't go to Bible college, because of the fact that I was in Bible college. I heard it all the time. And sometimes I would hear, you know, sermons on hell or sermons about are you really saved? And I would think to myself, am I really saved? This is a scary thing. It was so strong in my life. The fear that I was not saved was so strong. I mean this with every single ounce of my soul. I was good at basketball at that time. Not anymore. But I remember being on the free throw line. We would have what you could call intramurals. We call them league games. And they were intense games. I mean, we went at each other. Those were playing basketball in Bible college. That was a big thing. I can remember just being scared as I'm getting ready to shoot a free throw. I remember it very well. Scared that I wasn't saved even when I was shooting a free throw. Now, this kind of fear is something that can paralyze you. Now, when it comes to assurance of salvation, I do believe this quite strongly. When it comes to assurance of salvation, if you live in your life the way you're pleasing God, and you start to backslide, you are opening things up a little bit more and more as time goes on for the doubt about your own salvation to creep in. What does the devil need? He just needs a little bit of opening. So I'm just amazed at what can happen to your life when you backslide. And obviously backsliding, it's just a little bit and a little bit and a little bit to start it off until eventually you're really messed up. I do believe that me doubting my salvation was a result of backsliding. I think my senior year of high school, I think I did backslide. I wasn't doing wicked things, but I think I just let the world get to me a little bit. And I think the result of it was starting to doubt some things. And it carried with me over quite a bit into my freshman year. About these doubts about my own salvation, when really, looking back at my life, the power of God had been manifested in my life in such a powerful way. I would so often think to myself, how in the world could I doubt my salvation, seeing how God amazingly transformed me, but yet I did anyway. You see, that was a feeling.
And it was a battle for me that had to take place, and it was not easy. I had to fight this. Everything that went on with me, I was constantly doubting my salvation. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to be honest with you here. Sometimes I wish people would doubt their salvation. Sometimes I wish people did. Because from my perspective, it doesn't seem like they have a biblical salvation. So usually, from what I can tell, most of the time in churches in which it usually involves kids whose parents are very involved in church or involved in a Bible college or involved in ministry, many times they're the ones that are the most susceptible to this because of their exposure to the Word of God, and they question a lot of things and they really struggle with it, and it keeps them up at night. So I don't know where you are at. I hope, I tell you what, it's better to be saved and doubt your salvation than it is to be not saved and not doubt your supposed salvation. That aspect is true. So the purpose of this message is for those who are saved, but who doubt. Now, truth be told as well, if you are not saved, the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time, behold, today is the day of salvation. You can be saved today. That is up to you. But I do want to preach on the assurance of salvation. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13, which, by the way, the book of 1 John is a great book to read like crazy, to know it very much. This is the book of assurance. This book brings assurance of salvation to you. Now, you still have to believe it. That's part of doubt, is that you have to believe what it is that you are reading. If you are saved and the Bible says that you're saved, but you have your doubts, in other words, you're not confident in what the Bible says, you're still going to doubt. Because your confidence is not in the Word of God. You're really depending upon your emotions. But your confidence needs to be in truly what the Bible says. Now, eventually, I did get victory, praise the Lord. But I'm telling you what, it was tough. I mean, it was Satan that was really hard. I've noticed, let me just tell you this, everybody here, don't ever backslide. You know why? Because it's very hard to get back to where you were before. It's very difficult. You know what it's called? It's called a stronghold. If you backslide a little bit, the truth be told, you're giving the devil a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more until he's got a pretty good chunk of you. And then you realize, this is not the way I want to go. I want to get back to living godly, and it's very tough because you have that stronghold that is there. So let me talk about 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So these are people that are actually saved. All right. The passage is clear there, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That's John's goal here. First of all, hey, if you believe on the name of the Son of God, you can realize and you can know that you have eternal life. Folks, I am very happy to say this. If I die up here while I'm preaching, you know, you'll have to call my wife. But you can know this. He's in the glories of heaven. He is with the Son of God. You know, I think those who have recently went to heaven, I don't know this, but I think they probably think, I am so glad I died. Now, that might seem disrespectful, but I don't mean it to be, but I guarantee you, they're much happier up there than they are here. I would say even regardless of age. I mean, can you imagine what they're going through now in the glories of heaven? No more physical issues, no more sin nature. They're with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're with other people that have no sin nature anymore. I mean, they have it awesome. And I'm serious when I say I think they may be glad they passed away. Now, God has us here at this time to truly serve Him. I just think through the trials and the tribulations of my life that I have gone through, oftentimes I think heaven's got to be an amazing place. Looking forward to going there. But as we continue on with verse number 13, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, being 100% convinced, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you can continue to have that confidence. Like I said, the amazing thing about being a preacher is you don't know where people are at. There may be some doubt in your mind as to whether you are truly saved. I can tell you this, and I've been saying this for many years, you've got to do something about that. You can't just let those fester. There may be two things. One, you are saved, you're just struggling with it, the devil is trying to discourage you, or you truly do need to be saved. And it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. But I do believe this, you do need to do something about it. Now, you can talk to me, since Pastor is not available well these days. He will be sometime soon, and you can meet with him and meet with his wife and talk about the theology of assurance of salvation so that you can know that you're saved. But I am available as well, and I'm sure there's others here that are available for you to talk with them about this, because I do believe very strongly you do need to do something about it. From my experience with it, you can't just sit there. I remember going to visit one of my professors, and I'm so thankful for his attitude. He was he's obviously a very busy man. I remember I went to see him, and he got a call on the intercom there in his office. I remember this well, probably remember it forever, that they needed him to do something, but he said, just give me about another 45 minutes or another hour here. I'm talking with somebody. 45 minutes, an hour, that's a long time. He was willing to take time out of his schedule and talk to me about this. And I'm so blessed that he did. He gave me a hug at the end. Those types of things I'll always remember. But let's go now to Matthew chapter 4. Oftentimes I have a lot of portions of Scripture. Actually, looking back, yeah, let's go to Matthew chapter number 4. I'm not going to have us turn to a lot of portions of Scripture because I have a lot of portions of Scripture. But the devil, from what my time when I doubted my salvation, it was a battle, a very difficult battle. The devil had a stronghold. Why did the devil have a stronghold? Because I let him in by backsliding. I'll say it again, don't ever backslide. If you're saved, you'll notice in time that you have a bad stronghold. And it's going to be very difficult to get out of it. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." If you look back at Genesis and chapter number 3, we're not going to go there. But the devil tried to make Eve doubt. Did God really say? Satan likes to give doubt. Likes to put doubt in your mind. And in the area of salvation, once again, I say, you need to do something about it. You can't just let it sit there. James chapter 1, verse number 13 through 15 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." The devil, I believe, if you are saved, can try to tempt you to doubt your salvation. It puts you at a place that is not good for a Christian to be at. What's another reason why we doubt our salvation? Not just because Satan tempts us, but we allow it to fester. I can remember when I was in high school, when I truly was walking with the Lord. I remember seeing a list about evidences of salvation. And in the area of assurance of salvation, I really didn't spend a whole lot of time thinking about it. I just looked at the list and said, "Yep, sounds good, you know, I seem to fit those." But I really didn't take it very seriously. I remember hearing a sermon once from one of the president of the college that I went to, and he said this, and this is amazing. He said, I know one of the godliest pastors that I've ever ministered with. One of the godliest pastors that I've ever known who admitted that he struggles with whether he is saved or not. It's one of those things you cannot let in. You have got to fight against it. And how are you going to fight against it? Well, you got to know what the Bible says. Victory with everything comes from the Bible. It comes from knowing the Word of God. And I know that I've said this before about fighting against Satan. I am not a fan of speaking to Satan. A lot of times people like to do this. They like, Satan, get away, you know, or you quote a verse to Satan. I think resisting the devil is this. Resisting the devil is by, you have a problem, you have a spiritual problem. There's a verse of scripture that fights against that spiritual problem. How are you going to learn that? You got to do your study. And you got to listen to other people that have done the study. And you go, okay, this verse attacks that. It's just like medication. This medication attacks that. The Word of God is a medication for a sin problem. You know what the verse is, and you believe the verse. This is how we all operate. We believe meteorologists before we believe the Bible all the time. If we were supposed to get 15 inches of snow this morning, or if we were supposed to get 2 inches of ice from freezing rain, I would have been online this morning. I would have been looking things. I maybe would have talked to Brother Johnson. Hey, what's the weather like up there? We all would have been doing our preparation. If we were going to get, let's say, 20 inches of snow, maybe we would have gone to the grocery store and gotten some things. Maybe we would have made sure that the snowblower has gas. You know, make sure all these things. We prepare so well. Spiritually, we don't prepare well. We don't. How great of Christians would we be if we prepared spiritually like we prepare for a snowstorm? We'd be tremendous Christians. Temptation must be dealt with. I've learned this. I think that was part of my problem, is I just let it fester. But the issue is it became stronger and stronger and stronger over time to where it overtook me. See, that's the case with sin and backsliding. A little bit here, a little bit there. I can tell you, in time, it's going to become the Empire State Building. In time. And so you wipe out the construction right away. You don't let it happen at all. It's got to be dealt with. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 1 says this, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. My emphasis of this verse is, remember now thy Creator. When is the time to walk with God? The time to walk with God is right now. That will knock things out. Yesterday, I wasn't feeling very good. I didn't feel very good the day before and maybe even the day before. How did I? Did I just let it be there? No, I decided I'm going to drink a lot of water because this is going to help me have strength to possibly overcome an illness that I could come down with. That's why my wife and Emerson are not with us this morning because they're sick. Joshua 24 and verse number 15 says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Part of serving the Lord is fighting against temptation. Dealing with it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 9, in context of the devil, it says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Temptation has to be dealt with. You can't just let it pass by. Proverbs 22 and verse number 3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Temptation must be dealt with. You can't just let it fester. Sometimes we doubt our salvation, like I said, is because we allow it. I like what Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 29 says. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. You know, truly a lot of problems can be traced back to that verse right there. You do err, not knowing the scriptures, neither the power of God. If you understand the scriptures, understand what they say, understand what it means, and you understand the power of God, you will be a victorious Christian. But when you let things fester, when you just kind of let them slip through, even though they're small, eventually, I'm telling you, they're going to grow big. And if you're a Christian, you know this to be true. You know you have to be very careful about what you let in. I'm convinced of it. Been a few times I've backslidden in my life. And you know what? I regret it because sin gets built up and then it's very hard to overcome. Most spiritual time of your life, you don't have much struggles with sin because you reject it. Not doing that, not doing that, not doing that. But when you let little bit things in, they grow and become stronger. I've said a little bit earlier about why do we doubt our salvation? Because of backsliding. I do believe that doubting one's salvation can be a result of backsliding. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 14 says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Don't backslide. Because in time, things are going to grow. Kind of like weight. You don't watch your weights. Eventually, sometime you step on the scale and you think to yourself, how did that happen? It's the same kind of thing with backsliding. So let's talk about how to know you are saved. How can you know that you're saved? What are some things that can help you? I have some things written down here as to how you can know that you're saved. First of all, there was a time in which you were converted. I know of some people, if you ask them, when did you get saved, you know what they'll say? They'll say, I've always been saved. I've always been a Christian. You don't find that in the Bible anywhere. You find that when we're born, we are born sinners. We are born wicked in the eyes of God. We are born in need of a Savior. And because we are born in that need, we need a time in which we believe on Christ, in which we trust Him and repent. We change our minds about our own way and we go the way of the Bible that's spelled out very clearly in the Word of God. We trust, we confess Jesus as Lord. Placing our faith and trust in Christ. There was a time in which you were converted. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever, anybody shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There has to be that moment of salvation. The more I study the Word of God, and the more I live my Christian life, the more I realize what a change takes place when somebody is truly born again. I love the stories that I hear about people's salvation. I love hearing about it. It's especially awesome when people that kind of grow up in Christianity, there's even people that get saved in ministries. I know of pastors that have gotten saved. I know of pastors that have preached salvation messages. They were the first ones to pray and get saved from their own message. That kind of thing happens. Why? Because you can grow up in Christianity. And you can do what you're told. And you can look good and you can look like a Christian and not be one. See, I can't look at you and say, you're a Christian, you're not, you're a Christian, you're not. Now, if I get to know you very, very well, sometimes there are doubts can come into my mind about your salvation. But I can tell you, everybody here, I don't know you well enough. There are people that I know very, very well in which I doubt their salvation. Why? Because they're missing so many things that I have because of a biblical salvation. There has been a change in your desire. I'm telling you what, there's a battle that is taking place today. It's a push to believe that you can be saved and your life not change at all. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I love it. I love it when people in Bible college get saved. Because most of the time they grew up in Christianity. But there's always a change that even we can see. I can look back at the time at the people in my class that got saved in Bible college. Parents were missionaries. We've always noticed even a change in them. They're different. They're more friendly. I remember there was a fellow in my class that got saved during his freshman year. He was always somebody that just kind of stood by himself, just kind of did what he wanted to do, lied on occasion, just kind of by himself. After he got saved, he started to smile more. That was a change that resulted through a biblical salvation. I love seeing salvations. I love seeing when people grow up in Christianity and realize I wasn't saved and they're 100% convinced I got saved. Many times you know these people well and they get saved and you think to yourself, yeah, I can see that. I can see them needing to get saved. It makes some sense based on things that I remember about them, you know, pride, arrogance, and meanness from time to time. And I've heard testimonies of this where Bible college, it happens so much in Bible college to where you know somebody or you're in the dorm and they get saved and they change. People change through salvation. That's one of the most impactful things about me is I could give so many testimonies about what God had done in my life before the time that I doubted my salvation. And I'm just like, there's no way that this is natural. There's no way that this just happened to me because God changed my life. I remember saying something. I think I was in eighth grade. And I said to one of my friends, who do you think has changed the most in our class within the last year? Now, what I was actually referring to, I was not seeking a compliment. I was not. You see, at that time, some kids that liked sports, you know, that wear sports apparel, started to wear more grungy things. You know, they started to color their hair purple and, you know, they went from being an athlete to really probably being a druggie. You know, so my question was, who do you think has changed the most? And I mean this with every ounce of my soul. I was not seeking a compliment at all. My friend looked at me and says, you have changed the most. That's salvation. That's the power of salvation. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9 says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Spirit of God makes that change. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they, the things of the Spirit of God, are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. If you see some things in the Bible and you reject them because they don't match up with what you think. There are people I know that do that. That doesn't match up with what I think. And therefore, I am going to reject it because it doesn't match up with what I believe. Even though it's very clearly in the Bible. When somebody is like that and that's consistent in their life, I doubt whether they've been saved. That's not autopistocism, which Pastor Ketchum talks about. That's not automatic faith. If it agrees with me, then I will receive it. If it doesn't agree with me, I will reject it. That's not biblical Christianity. I would say that's not a biblical change. There has been a change in your desire. I've seen it numerous times. True salvation changes a person. They change from that. They're not the same person. One of the aspects of having this change is you have a great desire for God's Word. If God's Word is not something that draws you, that's a problem. Through the Holy Spirit of God being in me, I have a desire for the Bible.
I have a desire for God's word. That's there. Psalm 119, verse number 97 says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Another aspect of being a saved individual is that you want to be holy. You want your life to live for God. That is some proof right there of you being a Christian. Romans chapter 7 and verses 15 through 17 read you some passages of Scripture there. Romans chapter 7 verses 15 through 17 say this, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." There is a passion for God. We see there in those verses that there is a real passion for God there. There is a desire to do that which is right. That desire doesn't happen in somebody who isn't saved. I remember one of my friends back in high school, I remember him saying, and he is not a saved man, he did make a profession of faith, but he made a profession of faith at a camp, but he has never lived for God a day in his life. And that's not biblical. But I remember even before he made that profession of faith, that one day he just had this desire to be righteous. He just had this desire to do right. And I was like, huh, that's a good thing. You know, that's good. About a week later, he started sinning, I guess you could say. And I said, what about what you said last Monday? You said you wanted to live righteously. And you said you wanted to live holy. What was his response? I don't care anymore. That was very short-lived. But when you have been saved, as long as the Holy Spirit of God is in you, you're going to have that desire to do right. Another aspect of salvation, and I've had a lot of people that say this to me, "How do I know that I'm saved?" Well, one of the reasons I know that I'm saved is that I have been chastened by God. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. I just had a friend say that to me not too long ago. That, how do I know I'm saved? I know I'm saved because of the chastening hand of God, and I can agree with him. It's that chastening. When you do wrong, your life falls apart. What is that? That's the Lord's chastening hand, and the Lord convinces you, this is why I am doing this. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 5 says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Verse 8, "But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." These verses are powerful, folks. Does God chasten you for your sin? Yes, you sin. See, the problem is this, is when you sin and you have no accountability for it. If you can get away with your sin, you're not saved. But if when you sin, the chastening hand of God comes, you can do two things. Quit sinning and rejoice that you're a child of God. It is a great feeling. Man, the God of the universe is my Father. And there can be that confidence that comes from chastening. I like what my friend says who was recently born again. He said, "You know, before I could sin and it wasn't a big deal. I could sin and get away with it. It's not like that anymore. I can no longer sin and get away with it. The chastening hand of God comes on me when I do that." Let's go back to 1 John once again. What's another evidence of salvation? I love this aspect of salvation. Because of the fact that the Holy Spirit of God is in me, I love other Christians. Sometimes I may be talking with you. Sometimes I'll leave the conversation and I leave thinking, I'm not going to say this, but I'm thinking, I love that guy. I love that lady from a Christian perspective. It's not because I'm a good person. It's because of the fact that the Holy Spirit of God is in me. I remember when I first got here, my family and I first started coming, it was such a blessing to see Brother Andrews. Because we've had spent a lot of time together in the past. It was cool to see him again. And I was thinking when I was there, man, I love that guy. But why is that? And his wife does too. Why is that though? You think how many times do you think somebody goes to a bar to get drunk and they see somebody else that's there too also to get drunk? You think they say, man, I love that guy. It probably doesn't happen a whole lot. But in Christianity, it happens a lot. Why? Because of Christ in me. There's another reason I know that I'm saved. I am a man of love. And I'm not bragging. Because the Holy Spirit of God is the one that gets the credit. The Holy Spirit of God is in me. And He is the reason that I love. That's what 1 John is about. 1 John 3, verse number 13 says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. You see, the world hates. Unsaved people hate. That's characteristic of unsaved people. That you hate. You look out in politics and all this stuff. There is so much hate. That's what protesting is for the most part. It's hate. There's a hatred that's there. Verse number 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. These are very strong words, but they're true words. There are many times I doubt people's salvation because they very much seem that they hate God's people. They may even attend church, but it just seems like they hate the people that walk with God. As a Christian, I love the people that walk with God. They're a blessing to me. I am blessed to behold them. I am blessed to see their godliness. Why am I blessed? Because I have God in me. That's why I am blessed. Because the Spirit of God is there. Another way that you can know that you're saved is that you just believe God. You think from a biblical perspective. John chapter 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, you may be struggling with the fact about your own salvation, but you know you have a biblical worldview. You know that God has changed your view on things. All right, now here's what we have to get to. How do you have victory here? Realize that temptation is not sin. That encourages me in my life, folks, because sometimes I get a temptation and I'm tempted to think that I did sin. And I hate that temptation, but I can realize to myself, you know what, technically, I did not sin. It was a temptation, but I didn't give into it. That can be encouraging, and it should encourage us. We might be tempted with something that's terrible, and we might feel bad about it, but the reality is, did you really sin? Did you give into it? Recognize that just because you were tempted doesn't mean that you sinned. If that means that you sinned, then Christ sinned. Because he was tempted. The Bible says to resist the devil. I have a great promise for you. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's a promise and that is a guarantee. Doesn't matter what your sin struggle is. It can be dealing with the temptation to doubt your salvation. It can be a temptation for covetousness. It can be a temptation for lust. It can be a temptation for bitterness. You can know that if I continue to resist the devil, just like Jesus did, he will flee from me. Reclaim the promises of God. Recognize what the Bible says and live by it. Know that when you look at this word, you can know this is 100% true. How many of you woke up this morning and doubted whether the sun was going to come up at all? I can say that probably none of you doubted that. If I called you on the phone last night and said, "Brother, do you think the sun's going to come up in the morning, or do you think it's going to stay on the other side of the world?" You'd be like, "What have you been doing? Are you okay? You know, did you think you were eating one thing and you ended up eating something else?" You know, none of you doubt that. Oh, that we would not doubt the word of God like that. But know 100% that it is 100% true, and I can put my trust and my confidence in it. That's how I got victory over the temptation. Think about this, how bad it was. I was shooting free throws and was scared I was going to hell. Now that's strong. And it was strong. It was a terrible time. And I've had some other terrible times in my life in which I had to resist the devil. And I did. I got victory by the word of God. Read the Bible slowly. Rekindle your salvation, your devotions, excuse me. As we have heard, Satan loves to make us doubt God's word. God's word speaks against that. Through the power of the Spirit and faith, we can conquer and live in victory. Like everyone's heads bowed and eyes closed at this time. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You know who I see doubting salvation more than anybody else? Kids and teenagers, younger people. But at the same time, adults can do that too. As our heads are bowed and as our eyes are closed, is there anybody that is here, young or old, between you and me that would say, "Brother Brian, would you pray for me? I've been going to church here for a long time. I may have grown up in a Christian family. I have been Christian, but I do doubt my salvation." Between me and you, would you pray for me, Brother Brian? Is anybody like that here? By a raise of hand. Just raise it up. Raise it up high. "Brother Brian, I doubt my salvation." Okay, I see that hand. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? "Brother Brian, would you pray for me? I do doubt whether I'm saved." Anybody else? "Brother Brian, would you pray for me?" Anybody else? "I'm just not 100% sure." Okay, I do want to say to the individual that raised your hand, I do want to say that, as I said a little bit earlier, you do have to do something about that. You cannot let that fester. Something has to be done. You have to go and do something about it. You can talk to me. I will find the right individual to talk to you about it. Or you can, just do something about it. You can't let it just sit there. You got to do something about it. And really saying that to everybody, what I know to be true is just because somebody doesn't raise their hand doesn't mean that they need to. And it's not the raising of the hand, but it's truly doing the spiritual work that needs to be done. Have you truly been saved? Have you truly been born again? So as we go to a hymn this morning, I would just like you to do what needs to be done. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are still closed. I just encourage that the person to do something about it, to really find somebody. You can feel free to talk to me, or there's somebody else here that you respect more because you know them better. Do that. But certainly do something about it. Don't just let it hang around. It will only get worse as time goes on. When it comes to problems, you got to deal with it. You have to attack it. Why don't we stand at this time and take our hymnals? Let's turn to hymn number 622. "Thank You, Lord." Hymn number 622. "Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul." Hymn number 622. "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me
Thy great salvation so rich and free. Let's sing it one more time. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. I am so thankful that if I die, I know exactly where I'm going. You know how I know? God has proved that to me. From the perspective of the Word of God and everything that has to do with that, I know that I'm on my way to heaven because I know I have placed my faith and trust in Christ, and I know that God is my Father. So if I pass away, you can be sorry for my kids, but don't be sorry for me, because I'm probably going to be glad that I passed away. Because heaven is going to be so awesome. I am looking forward to it. No more sin. No more sin nature. No more physical problems. And the presence of God. How many of you are looking forward to heaven tonight, this morning here? Amen. I am looking forward to it. Now, how I enjoy that. That's a blessing to me. But if I doubt that I'm saved, is that going to be a blessing? It's not.